Have you ever felt your stomach twist into knots before a presentation? For millions of readers worldwide, Raina Telgemeier's graphic memoir, Guts, has become the unexpected comfort blanket for these universal anxieties. It begins with a night that many of us can relate to, the dreaded stomach flu. Raina wakes in darkness, that unmistakable nausea rising as she makes a desperate dash to the bathroom. The violent retching leaves her exhausted and vulnerable. Her mother sits beside her on the cold bathroom floor, explaining how water tastes sweet after eating artichokes, a small scientific curiosity amid the misery of what Raina calls the night puking. This isn't just any stomach bug. It's a formative experience that plants the seeds of overwhelming anxiety. As the illness makes its rounds through her fourth grade class, poor Teddy Shanahan becomes the cautionary tale when he vomits in the schoolyard for all to see. The public humiliation burns into Raina's consciousness, amplified by cruel whispers and pointed fingers. What if that happened to her? The thought alone is unbearable, and it begins to shape her daily behaviors: where she sits, how close she stands to others, which routes she takes through hallways. The incident marks the beginning of Raina's hyper-awareness of her body's functions, leading to a cascade of anxiety-driven behaviors that gradually become the very chains that bind her to her fears. Fourth grade forms a fascinating social ecosystem where hierarchies emerge around trivial distinctions: the cartoons you watch, lunches you bring, games you play. For Raina, this world is simultaneously comforting and treacherous as she navigates relationships with her best friend Jane and, sometimes, antagonist Michelle. When Michelle mockingly labels Raina and Jane the comic book girls, we witness social boundaries being drawn. These small labels, insignificant to adults, can define a child's entire social identity. Food becomes a charged battleground, especially when Michelle ridicules Jane's Korean lunch, prompting everyone to discuss their peculiar eating habits. What makes these interactions compelling is their authenticity. The dialogue captures the exact cadence of fourth grade conversation: quick pivots, casual cruelties, and unexpected moments of solidarity. Through discussions of eating habits, the children explore deeper questions about difference, normalcy, and belonging that we continue asking throughout our lives, though never as openly as at age 9. Anxiety creeps in gradually, disguising itself as reasonable concern before revealing its true nature. For Raina, a normal reaction to illness transforms into a force that reshapes her entire existence. During math class, her pencil draws spirals instead of solving equations. The small bathroom in their crowded apartment becomes Raina's sanctuary, the only place where she can truly be alone with her fears. Even when summer arrives and the family spreads out more, her anxiety remains constant. What makes this portrayal powerful is its authenticity. Anxiety grows from reasonable concerns that gradually expand beyond boundaries. Its physical manifestations appear with unflinching honesty: the churning stomach, racing thoughts, hyper-awareness of bodily sensations. Raina's mind makes connections that seem logical but are actually anxiety's distortions. If someone had a stomach bug last week, the drinking fountain must be contaminated. This is anxiety's insidious nature, presenting itself as protection while building walls that separate us from normal experiences. Standing before peers with all eyes focused on you creates a unique terror. For anxious Raina, already worried about bodily functions, classroom presentations become psychological minefields. When Mr. Abrams introduces weekly LDIs, lecture, demonstration, or instruction, Raina's internal alarms sound. During her Girl Scout presentation with Jane, anxiety overwhelms her. As she stands before classmates, prepared words remain unspoken while her stomach churns and thoughts race, forcing her to flee to the bathroom. The situation worsens in the nurse's office when Michelle falsely accuses Raina of being mean, a social betrayal compounding her physical distress. Now, both her body and social world feel unreliable. What's revealing is how this connects to deeper fears. Raina's true fear isn't forgetting lines, but losing fundamental control. The possibility of her body betraying her during a presentation represents ultimate vulnerability, particularly threatening during the socially precarious years of late childhood. Sometimes the most important step in healing is finding the right words to describe what's happening inside us. For Raina, therapy with Lauren becomes the space where nebulous feelings take shape, suffering becomes visible, and coping strategies emerge. Initially, Raina deflects by talking about her siblings, a form of self-protection rather than stubbornness. Naming fears can make them more real. But in Lauren's safe environment, Raina gradually identifies her core fear, the terror of vomiting that has begun to control her life. Raina's anxiety manifests through increasingly restrictive behaviors, refusing drinking fountains, avoiding certain foods, and becoming hypervigilant about contamination. The cost is steep: isolation from peers who are forming connections without her. Naming feelings represents a crucial step in Raina's journey. When we can say, "This is anxiety," rather than "Something is wrong with me," we create the cognitive distance necessary to work with our feelings rather than being consumed by them. In a crowded apartment where privacy is scarce, finding personal space becomes both a physical and emotional necessity. Following Lauren's suggestion, Raina's parents convert a closet into a tiny bedroom just for her. Though barely large enough for a bed, this small space represents something profound: acknowledgement of Raina's need for boundaries and a private place to process feelings. Just as Raina begins enjoying this newfound privacy, Grandma moves in temporarily. Rather than being purely negative, this reveals the complexity of family relationships as Raina discovers unexpected connection with her grandmother through shared interest in comics. The converted closet bedroom serves as a powerful symbol, simultaneously inadequate yet precious. This paradox reflects Raina's experience: imperfect but valuable solutions, meaningful yet incremental progress. What makes this portrayal compelling is its honesty about balancing individual needs with family functioning. Raina's journey isn't about escaping her family, but finding her place within it, establishing boundaries without severing connections, seeking independence without rejecting interdependence. The journey toward healing often isn't linear, but circular. We return to where we started, seeing challenges with new understanding. Lauren helps Raina recognize her anxiety as a manageable pattern with triggers rather than a character flaw. When diagnosed with IBS, Raina feels relief not because symptoms disappear, but because they're normalized. During Skeletons in the Closet, Raina shares her health concerns with friends, taking a significant step towards self-acceptance. She unexpectedly connects with Michelle, hospitalized for intestinal surgery. Despite their social differences, this shared vulnerability creates a bond. The friends commit to staying connected despite Jane's upcoming move. What makes this resolution satisfying is its authenticity. Raina doesn't magically overcome her anxiety or IBS, but learns to manage these challenges. Her journey reminds us that healing comes not from eliminating symptoms, but understanding them; not from perfect circumstances, but from authentic connections forged through vulnerability.